This is part two of a series about Talmud Torah, the road to Shavuos, Sfiras HaOmer, 49 days to prepare for Matan Torah. Torah is too broad an experience just to prepare for a day or two, 49 days. So many ideas, so many thoughts, so many slants on Talmud Torah. So when was the Torah given? When did human beings start to encounter Torah? We our simple response, our first response, first glance is the year 2448, 3,300, approximately 3,300 years ago. Until then, man was either lost, adrift in theological confusion, over the Avodah Zarah, worshipping idols, worshipping human images, worshipping themselves, denying God, being lost in a world of black magic. Or those that discovered Hashem, those that discovered God, we simply feel they discovered God through morality. They sensed a moral energy to this world, and Avram realized there must be a source of that moral energy. Through science, the Rambam's description, he recognized that there was order, there was organization, probably a combination of the two, not just science, but also science tilted towards moral prosperity, towards human welfare. And the shift happened in 2448, the year of Matan Torah, where Hashem recognized that human beings wouldn't be able to trace him through the world around them, through his handiwork, through morality latent in this world. He delivered his word so human beings could study him through his word and could apply his word and his will to human experience. However, the Gemara in Yoma, Daf Chav Ches, and related Midrashim, challenge this simple dichotomy, this simple slicing or compartmentalization of the history of religion into two different elements. Da'amar Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chanina, Mihimeim shel avoseinu lo parsha yeshiva mehem. That the avos were ardently involved in yeshiva, and although the Gemara speaks about yeshiva, other Mamari Chazal speak about actually Torah learned in these yeshivas, because though the Gemara in Yoma says that the Jewish people had a yeshiva in Mitzrayim, in Goshen, that's where Yehuda was dispatched, the famous Rashi in Parshas Vayigash, to form a yeshiva. Though the Jewish people had a yeshiva in the desert, though Avram Avinu had a yeshiva, Yitzchak had a yeshiva, famously Yaakov studied in the yeshiva of Shem Va'ever, and we have Rashi telling us that Rivka, based on a Medrash, travels to a yeshiva of Shem Va'ever to consult with people about her predicament, about her strange gynecological feelings of two different babies, and Tomim Bevitna. So it seems as if people formed yeshivas, and not just yeshivas for philosophy and speculation. One could have claimed the word yeshiva meant that people gathered to talk about God, to think about God. But Chazal, that same Gemara, speak about the study of Torah, and not just the study of Torah, but the fulfillment of Torah. Amar Rav, Rav adds to the original statement, Kim Avram Avinu Kola Torah Kula, Ekev Asher Shema Avram Bekoli Vayishmar Mishmarti Mitzvasei Chokosei V'Serosei. And as Ravashi, one of the latest and most authoritative Amarayim, concludes, Kiyem Avram Avinu Afilu Erev Tavshilin. Even the elements of Torah Shebaal Peh, something close to my heart. I'm starting to teach Beitza now this summer to my Israeli Talmidim. So we're starting with the Sugya of Erev Tavshilin, the second parak, which clearly is not the Arise. It's clearly a rabbinic addition, a rabbinic adjustment. So it seems as if Torah predates Har Sinai. Now, first of all, what type of Torah were they studying? Ravashi's statement makes it sound like a Torah that was very, very similar to our Torah, and that even Takanos of Chazal were intuited, were sensed well before they were actually instituted, because their logic is latent into the system of Torah. So Chazal tweaked it from the system, but our Avos were able to intuit. That intuition is captured by a Medrash that describes Avram's two kidneys as surging with Torah knowledge in a way that didn't even require possibly the texts that were delivered at Har Sinai. So they may have been studying a more intuitive Torah, a Torah that doesn't require documentation in a text. Torah contains the logic of Hashem. Understanding Hashem, understanding God, can provide a different access to that logic, the same logic that underwrites Torah. Or maybe some of the texts of Torah were given to them. Maybe the actual texts that we're studying. These are big, big machloks in For example, there's a sefer written by the author of the Mishneh LeMelech, Rav Rosinus, a 17th century Turkish rabbi, called the Parashas Derachim, in which he documents, in which he tallies machloksin throughout different Mefarshim, the Mizrahi, the Ramban, different Rishonim, and whether the Avos learned and studied Torah in the same fashion that we learn and study Torah, or they had a kidney-like access to Torah knowledge or Torah logic in a way that didn't require reading from texts, or at least reading from the same text we had. In the late 19th century, early 20th century, a fairly well-known rabbi, Polish rabbi named Rav Meir Dan Plotzky, he wrote a sefer called the Klechemda. He was a student of the Avnei Nezer. He was one of the leading members of the political organization of Orthodox Jews in Poland, called the Agudas Yisrael in Poland and Eastern Europe. So he was one of the representatives. He actually traveled to America. He died several years before the Holocaust in 1928. So he authored a sefer called Klechemda. And in the sefer Klechemda, which is written as a series of essays on the Parsha, he rewrites halachic discussions into the lives of our Avos, so that their lives were led by strict adherence, not just to the generalized patterns of halacha, but even the nitty-gritty. So he'll take a Tosfos, a machlokas between Tosfos and the Rashba, and see that as something which Avram was aware of, something which perhaps Avram contended with other people, disputed with other people. So I think that sefer takes this association very literally. And I think it's an important, powerful statement that Torah isn't just the study of Torah, the word of God, the performance of the word of God and the will of God through mitzvos, isn't just an adjustment, as we would say in Hebrew, a bidyeved, that ideally we should and can discover God through nature, through philosophy, through speculation, through the morality latent in our hearts and in our world. But when that became too difficult, and it obviously was too difficult for humanity, Hashem was compelled to deliver a written word. Now that Hashem wants us to study his will directly. And we take it for granted because we've benefited from Torah for thousands of years. But the ideal situation, and it is inconceivable that our Avos, these titans who founded our religion and to a degree founded world religion because of their establishment of monotheism, it's inconceivable they should not be studying God's word, God's logic. Because as much as you can access HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the world, the visual, optic, physical world, that will never be able, and I alluded to this earlier in part one, that will never be able to articulate the network logic, the minutia, or the application to minutia. Part of what makes Judaism so revolutionary, and it's still so revolutionary to this day, sometimes revolutions are so successful that they become embedded and conventional, is that God's will isn't just a short list or even an extensive list of ceremonies and rituals, but God's will trickles down and innervates every single detail of the human experience, every single detail of the human emotional life. And that's what makes it so frustrating to me when people don't appreciate the power and potency of Gemara, because Gemara is a series of details, but when you start to study those details and combine them and fuse them, you see both the larger logical patterns of Hashem's will, but also how they trickle down, how they affect every single nook and cranny of human experience. And Christianity and Islam, the Havdil, are certainly advances beyond the paganism of ancient folklore, in which God's will is just to be bribed or pacified or satisfied by food and riches and wine. And of course, in monotheistic religions, God's will isn't to be satisfied and pacified, but there's no religion quite like Judaism in which the will of God is not just limited to a ceremony, a ritual, a moral will, general guidelines about human behavior, dietary concerns, prayer, but every single aspect. It's almost, and this is the underlying platform of Rabbi Soloveitchik's halachic man, that every single object in our world, every single experience has halachic information, halachic data, halachic overlays that helps us understand how Hashem wants us to see those experiences, those objects, those details, and to live a godly life across the entire spectrum of human experience. So whether the Avos were studying Maseches Beitza, like I'm about to study, or whether they were intuiting the logic, whether they were reading a text, or whether they were achieving some other access point to Hashem's logic. How exactly these yeshivos function? When do they eat breakfast? How these dorms function? Obviously, weren't dorms. It's hard to know. Very hard to know. Different opinions. Were they studying the words of Torah in the same way we have it? The words of Torah that we have are not the only version of Torah. There are other versions of Torah. Certainly Malachim have access to, that certainly operate in other worlds and other realms, because Torah is not just limited to this realm. But one thing is clear. It was unacceptable to view Avos HaOlam, these founding members of our religion and of a religious orientation, as people who solely, or who accessed Hashem solely through the experiential world. They sat in front of books, texts, ideas, and they read, and they thought, and they analyzed, and they internalized, and they translated that will into behavior at some level. And that's why it's so important that Torah predated Har Sinai.